flesh the mystery sing, of the blood all price exceeding, shed by our immortal King, destined for the world's redemption, from a noble womb did spring. Those beautiful words written over 700 years ago by St. Thomas Aquinas, the beautiful words of the Pange Lingua, take on a special meaning for us on this night. For this sacred chant, passed down through the ages, serves to mark tonight our procession with Jesus in the Holy Eucharist at the end of tonight's Mass. In a special way, tonight is a night for singing, to sing the Savior's glory, as the saint urges us. And more than just to sing implies that our whole body is involved in the worship, the praise of God. And on this night, we're called not just to sing the praise, but to experience it, to be there in the upper room with Jesus. In the beauty and the mystery of our faith, tonight as we celebrate this Eucharist here in our church, the church asks us to see that we are not just here in this place, but that we are also back 2,000 years ago in an upper room of a small little house on the southwestern side of Jerusalem. And there is Jesus with his apostles. We are meant to be with him in this upper room where we gather. The Eucharist that we celebrate tonight is the same Eucharist that Jesus celebrated 2,000 years ago. We are meant to be there. We are meant to receive him. We are meant at the end of this Mass to go with him to the garden that will be symbolized by our Adoration Chapel tonight. Tonight is a night for experience for the senses, to relive and make new, not an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but that an event that is real here tonight for all of us. We sing of the blood, all price exceeding, shed by our immortal King. Tonight is a night for singing. Of a pure and spotless virgin, born for us on earth below, he as man with man conversing, stayed the seeds of truth to sow. Then he closed in solemn order, wondrously his life of woe. He as man with man conversing. This is the great mystery of the Incarnation, born for us on earth below from the Virgin. Wondrously this night, he closes in solemn order his life of woe. The Incarnation comes full circle. It seems just a few weeks ago we were here and it was Christmas and we sang of the Incarnation and of the birth of the Christ child. Tonight we gather to mark a more solemn occasion, the last night on earth of Jesus. Man as man conversing. The reason Jesus became one of us at Christmas, the reason for the celebration tonight is that God came to be one of us and to be as close to us as possible. Jesus desires intimacy with us. God in the Incarnation is no longer present just on a mountaintop in smoke or flashes of fire. Rather, he's one of us. We know that Jesus became us so that we might know and love God. And tonight we see just the depth and intimacy of that love. Certainly not on a mountaintop with smoke and fire, but in the intimacy of a quiet upper room lit by candles, Jesus gives himself in the ultimate gift, the gift of himself truly in the Eucharist. The Word made flesh at Christmas is now present under the appearances of bread and wine, that Jesus might not remain just with his apostles, but might remain with us forever. On the night of that last supper, seated with his chosen band, he the paschal victim eating, first fulfills the law's command. Then as food to his apostles, gives himself with his own hand. The night of the Last Supper. I think rightly when we come to celebrate the Eucharist, we realize it's a celebration. It's a beautiful celebration of the gift of the Eucharist. But those words, the Last Supper, they remind us of the gospel tonight, that it says Jesus loved his apostles and he loved them to the end. Whenever we come to celebrate the Eucharist, we have to be mindful that we always do so in the context of Calvary. For that was true of Jesus on that night 2,000 years ago. I once read in a Bible as I was doing a meditation on this very gospel. There are not many footnotes in this Bible. When it came to the part where it says, and Jesus celebrated the Passover, there was an asterisk by Passover. And I wondered, what footnote could there be? And I flipped and I looked. And it referred to the fact that in John's gospel, it appears that Jesus celebrates the Passover meal a day early. And the footnote remarks very simply, Jesus celebrated the Passover a day early because he knew the next night he would be dead. A celebration, certainly. But imagine that first Last Supper. There would, I think, have been a heaviness to it, even amidst the beauty. Jesus knew that not only would this be a special supper, it would be all the more special because it would be his last. His last on earth, his last with his apostles, his chosen band, as Aquinas sings. And as he does this, beautifully Aquinas says, he, the paschal victim eating, first fulfills the law's command. We read beautifully in our first reading tonight of the Passover, a sacred ceremony that was commanded by God to be celebrated every year on the full moon, on the 14th of the first month of the year. Faithfully, the Jews had passed on this tradition. To this day, they continue to celebrate the Passover. Jesus was a good and faithful Jew. He had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But in the course of this fulfillment of the Jewish law, Jesus does something amazing. Everything that the Passover had meant for year after year after year of celebration, Jesus sums up and forever transforms on that night. The Passover lamb that had been sacrificed year after year to take away sins, Jesus now substitutes himself. He becomes the Passover lamb. He doesn't do away with Passover so much as he fulfills it. As we come here tonight, we in a way celebrate the Passover. But Christians don't celebrate the Passover of the Jews. We celebrate the Passover fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus is now the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. I'm reminded on this night especially of all the faithful priests who faithfully offered the temple sacrifices. Jesus on this night changes forever the priesthood in that he himself becomes the priest offering himself as victim. It is a night to celebrate priesthood, a night on which we remember the first priest of the new covenant, Jesus, offering his blood to be shed. Word made flesh, the bread of nature. By his word to flesh he turns. Wine into his blood he changes. What though sense no change discerns. Only be the heart in earnest. Faith her lesson quickly learns. These six little lines sum up an infinite amount of theology in the church. Thomas Aquinas is best known as a theologian He wrote volumes and volumes of intense theological discourse about the Eucharist and the truths of our faith, many of which are confusing and perplexing, even to the greatest theologian. But perhaps no more beautiful thing did Aquinas ever do than when he took six volumes of his Summa Theologica and reduced it into those six beautiful lines I just sung. Word made flesh, the word that existed at the beginning of the universe, the word that created everything, takes the bread of nature and by his word turns it into his very flesh. Wine into his blood he changes. The same word that was present in the book of Genesis, when out of nothing the word says, "Let there be light," and there is light. That same word tonight says over bread, "Let this bread be my flesh," and it is. "This wine is my blood," and it is. The word, the powerful word. Though no sense can discern this change, only be the heart in earnest, and faith her lesson quickly learns. Tonight, we don't see the apostles, we don't see Jesus. What we see on our altar looks like bread, looks like wine. But in our faith, we know the power of the word. The word that created out of nothing is certainly capable, we believe, of taking bread and wine and changing it into his body and blood. And in a beautiful way tonight, at this intimate moment, the priest, as it were, disappears. The priest who talks and prays of the Father at the moment of the institution of the Eucharist, the priest says not, "And Jesus said, this is his body." Rather, the priest says, "This is my body. This is my blood." The priest for us tonight becomes Jesus. In the language of the church, the priest is the altar Christus. He's another Christ. So maybe in a way we do see Jesus tonight. As we see the priest stand at the altar, we're meant to hear the words of Jesus. We're meant to be with Jesus. We're meant to know with the assurance of our faith that that is Jesus present on our altar. Though our senses, no change could discern, we know that this is God. And when we know that this is God that the priest holds, there can be only one appropriate response. Down in adoration falling, this great sacrament we hail. Over ancient forms of worship, newer rites of grace prevail. Faith will tell us Christ is present, where our human senses fail. These beautiful words, down in adoration falling, ultimately mark our response to the gift of the Eucharist. They're known more popularly in their Latin by the words tantum ergo, the words that we sing at the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. Tonight we sing them as we enter the adoration chapel and the procession ends there. We sing those beautiful words as we too fall down in adoration before God. The ancient forms of worship which we fulfill tonight now pass away, and the newer rites, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is made present. Faith will tell us Christ is present where the human senses fail. Tonight is our Passover of the Lord. Tonight is the fulfillment of the Passover. Tonight is our time in the upper room with Jesus. We, tonight, are Jesus' chosen band, those who share the intimacy of the meal with him. We pray that we might prove better than the apostles on that first Holy Thursday, that we would watch, we would pray, we would give our hearts to Jesus this night. And as we receive him in the Eucharist, that we might give all praise to God for the most special gift that Jesus could have ever left us. He left us himself. He left us the priesthood. And tonight, he left us that beautiful example of love. Love is Jesus' ultimate gift. Tonight is a night for singing, a night for praise, a night for communion. To the everlasting Father and the Son who made us free, and the Spirit God proceeding from them each eternally, be salvation, honor, blessing, might and endless majesty. Amen.